through sight and sound and faceless terror, through endless corridors by trial and error. Ahead, a blazing light does burn, and one door leads to the point of return. Welcome to the Collinsport Historical Society Podcast.
Wallace McBride here for the Collinsport Historical Society. We've got a fun one for you this week. Marie McGinnity is back, this time speaking with Sharon Lentz, who is among the Dark Shadows cast members attending the annual festival this weekend. This is a casual conversation recorded over dinner a few weeks ago, and I think you'll enjoy it. If you're among the people attending the Dark Shadows Festival, don't forget to share your photos with the Collinsport Historical Society on Facebook and Twitter. If you're in the Southeast, you can visit with Sharon yourself at MonsterCon in Greenville, South Carolina, the weekend of July 18th. I'll be there, as will Butch Patrick and Pat Priest from the Munsters, Doug Jones of the Hellboy films, Naomi Grossman of American Horror Story, and lots of other cool folks. Yes, Dewey. That's my cat, by the way. And now, on with the show.
Oh, yeah! That's the whole idea. It's the diner experience. I mean, everybody does interviews. We've done lots of interviews.
This is true.
We've never done it. No,
actually, I'm good. Thank you.
Are you ready to order? Or you want to meet you?
I haven't been here for ages. My mom used to love to come here.
That particular waiter knows my children from when they were, you know, in middle school, and now he can't believe that they're out of college. He's like, kills him. He's like, makes me feel so old.
They're both out of college?
Oh, my son only did 2 years of college and decided it wasn't for him. My daughter is graduated 2 years now. She's been out for 2 years.
Oh, this is amusing. Because I was doing my homework last night.
Okay. I hope I know all the right answers.
I hope I know all the right questions.
Most Dark Shadows fans or anyone that's going to be listening to the podcast probably knows more about the show mm-hmm. than I do, so...
Good, then we'll just talk about other things.
Okay.
We are both from Philly.
Yes,
we are both Sagittariuses. Our birthdays are 2 days apart.
Really? Cool.
We have 2 children around the same age. Mine are 18 and 22.
Okay. I also have a stepdaughter.
Yes. But, well, according to the...
Oh, and there's a lot of misinformation online, just letting you know.
According to IMDb, have you been there?
It's wrong on many counts. I love the year of Search for Tomorrow. It's before I was even born that they put it on there.
Oh, you know what they do sometimes? They do. They put the day that the date that the show started. Apparently, you are the mother of 2, 17 and 19, and the grandmother of 3, 5, 10, and 15. How did you pull that off?
Well, it is. It's true. But it's convoluted. It's not right. I mean,
yeah.
I have 3 children because of my stepdaughter, and that's where the 3 grandchildren are from, and those ages, that's not current.
Okay, because that sounds a little strange just like that.
Sure it does. Sure it does. I don't know how to go in and fix information in there. I've noticed a few things in there that I would love to have changed because they're incorrect, but...
Oh, and the episode numbers for Dark Shadows?
Right.
Starting at 14:15, when there were, I think there were only 12:45 episodes.
I believe that my first episode was like 2:55.
They're right here. That,
yep, there you go.
That's from Dark Shadows Wiki.
So this is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of incorrect information on there.
Let's start with questions. Oh, well, you know what you're going to order?
And by the way, my children right now, if you use that at all, are 21 and 23.
Oh, okay.
And my oldest daughter is 35.
Oh, okay. That's your stepdaughter.
My stepdaughter, yeah.
Very nice.
She was 3 when I met her. I always say, since I went through the teen years, that makes me an official mom.
Mm-hmm. Well, first thing, my husband warned me never to look away when I'm with you because you might disappear.
Ha 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 ha. I'm not going anywhere. I'm hungry.
You were born in Philly. I could tell. I could tell the moment you opened your mouth.
I have a Philly accent.
You do.
Yeah.
Northeast?
Northeast Philly. Do you think I still have a Philly
no.
accent? No.
No? Not really. I mean...
I worry about that sometimes because I'd like to do some voiceover work and I'm afraid that I would be too regional.
I think it was maybe more pronounced when you were younger.
Okay.
Especially next to everybody else who didn't.
Right. I've had people say I sounded like I had a New York accent, and I don't think that at all. I always, it
well,
was
people
Philly.
From Philly know Philly.
Okay. Okay, that's cool.
You can tell. You can tell if it's South Philly or Northeast
yeah.
or
yeah.
or any of that.
Yeah, this is true.
So I knew you were from Philly. Grayson Hall was from Philly.
Yep.
And so was Dennis Patrick.
Really? I don't don't think I knew that.
What neighborhood did you...
Northeast Philly, right near Tacony-Palmyra Bridge. Are you familiar with...
Is that Mayfair?
Well, where I was, it's arguable between Tacony, Mayfair, Wissanoming,
okay,
and there's one other one. It was always a topic of argument because I felt kind of right on the borderline of all of them. So I just say Northeast Philly.
Where did you go to school?
Grade school, I went to St. Timothy's Parish, which is on Levick Street. And high school, I went to St. Hubert's, all girls Catholic high school. And during the year that I was on Dark Shadow, I went to school in New York City at the Mace School. It's M-A-C-E. It was for professional children, and not just in the acting business, but children that had schedules for whatever reason that were disrupted. So we were odd lot for different reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was awesome. Do you want to? Are you ready? Do you have a clue?
No, take your time. I just started my day.
Well,
I'll get what I always get. What do you want?
Spinach omelet, please.
Spinach omelet.
Spinach omelet. No meat, no potatoes, wheat toast. Thank you.
This is breakfast. Oh, hold on. Do you want to say lunch? I have a lunch menu.
No,
I can do this.
We don't order, we'll never do it.
She knows menu by heart.
Well, you know, it's a diner. Food is food.
Food is food.
My husband, when we order from the pizza store, he has to like look at the menu and spend 5 minutes. It's a pizza shop. What do you want?
How about pizza?
You don't have to be
right. No, Florentine omelet.
One of them. Wheat, white, rye?
Wheat.
And you want the home press, right?
Yeah, can I have onions in them?
Yeah.
Mint onions. So you went to St. Timothy's?
St. Timothy's grade school, with the exception of that 1 year. Grade school, I left in the middle of third grade, and I came back in the middle of fourth grade, and it was very, very confusing. That was a rough time for me. And then when I was in New York, because the classes were so small, they had combination classes. So third and fourth grade was actually one classroom. And then my language class had teenagers in it. There were some of the teenagers, you know, from, I guess, high school, beginning of high school age included in it. So it was really confusing. I also learned Spanish and French at the same time, which is impossible. Well, it's, no, I take that back. For me, it was impossible. I used to...
Mix them up?
Yeah, all the time. And ultimately, I don't know either one. So I'm not proficient in any language, including English, probably. Just kidding.
Let's start at the beginning. How did you get started in show business?
Completely by accident. My mother was approached in a public place by a woman who said, "Have you ever considered putting your daughter in modeling or commercials?" Now, I was 5. Maybe 4.5. No, 5. And she said no. Because it was very much not a part of our life. You know, I mean,
right,
we're just out doing laundry. And her mom said no, but, you know, they had a conversation and they exchanged phone numbers. There were no cell phones back then. You had real phones. They exchanged phone numbers, and I'm not sure the exact timing, but probably a couple weeks to a month later, my mom got a phone call from this woman and said, "Would you consider taking your daughter up to New York for an audition?" And for whatever reason, my mom said yes, which to me now as an adult woman, it's kind of bizarre to me that she said yes, but she did. And that was how it started. And I started to go on auditions up in New York and got a lot of jobs. I did runway work in New York for McGilligan. I'd have to go back and look at the paperwork, but it was well known at the time. I did modeling for Sears and Roebuck catalog, and I started to do commercials. My first commercial was Post Sugar Crisp. Actually believe that Joe Flanagan posted the commercial online, which was, when he posted it, was the first time I'd ever seen it. I remember doing it, but it was the first time I ever saw it, and all these memories came rushing back to me when I watched it. It was like, oh, I remember that. That's so cute, you know? One thing led to another. I just, going on auditions became a regular thing. It's just what I did.
Did you
I was living, yes, I was living in Philadelphia.
You're just like schlepping up to New York all the time?
Yep, Trailways bus. My mom would drive, she'd say yes, they'd say tomorrow morning or, you know, whenever it was. It was usually not a lot of time in between. And we would drive from our home in Philadelphia to New Jersey. I believe it was Maple Shade, New Jersey, where the Trailway, yeah, where the Trailways bus station was. And we would take a bus up to New York, do the audition, have lunch, and come back. And except for when I did Search for Tomorrow, we didn't live up there during Search for Tomorrow. No, we commuted. We commuted back and forth on a daily basis. Every once in a while, I do remember staying overnight at a hotel, though. So I guess if it was a particularly long day or for whatever reason, we would stay at a hotel once in a while overnight. But yeah, my mom would schlep me on the bus. But then when Dark Shadows came, we got an apartment in New York City. 72nd Street, West Side in New York. And I loved it. I absolutely loved that apartment. It had a little elevator with an elevator operator that I will always remember till the day I die. She was the sweetest lady. She had red hair. I don't remember her name right now. But she treated me. She was great. She was just. She didn't blow me off like a little kid. You know? She talked to me. She engaged me. She was funny. Whatever. And we lived in this little apartment. And I remember having chicken pox at that apartment. And we had red hoarded draperies on these huge floor-to-ceiling windows. It's an old New York City apartment, brownstone type. And I remember my mom having to draw the curtains and keep it dark in there because I had chicken pox. And my eyes were sensitive. And I had gloves on. I remember that. It was traumatic.
Did you have an agent?
Well, the woman that first approached my mother, her name was Florence Creasy. She was a personal agent, and she worked with children.
Okay.
And then she hooked us up with an agency in New York called Anne Wright, which was big for children at the time, and I worked through them. And then eventually there were other agencies, town agencies in New York City that we worked with, but always Florence Creasy was my personal manager, and she was the one that made all the connections. You know.
She set up the auditions. And
well, she got the information from the talent agencies, and she would just call and say, this is where you need to be, when, what you need to bring with you, whatever. So there was a lot of those, I guess, open casting call through the agency. And there was a lot of no's. You know, there were plenty of times when I went there and didn't get the part, but there was, during that period of time, there was a lot of yeses. I made a lot of commercials, a lot of voiceovers, a lot of modeling.
Did you like it? Did
I loved
you like
it.
This? Like you weren't being dragged into this?
No, I loved it. When I was doing it, I loved it. But it wasn't like, ooh, I want to be an actor, or ooh, I want to be a star, or ooh, I want to be famous. It wasn't like that at all. I was just having fun. And that's really all it was. It was an exciting time for me, just having fun. And when it became not fun anymore, after Dark Shadows, after a couple more commercials, I was reaching the age of 13, and it wasn't fun anymore, and I didn't want to do it. And my mom was fine with that. She was never a stage mom. She was never a pushy mom.
Yeah.
She just kind of went with the flow. These things made themselves available. We did it. It was fun. And when it wasn't fun anymore, it was over. That's really all it took for me to say, I don't want to do this anymore. My mom said, fine. And that was it.
What kind of work did you enjoy more? Did you enjoy the one-shots, like the commercials, or did you enjoy having that ongoing thing where you got to know the same people?
Good question. I don't know that I differentiated between any of it. I enjoyed the shoots, the print ads, which I did plenty of them. I enjoyed them. I enjoyed going on location for commercials. I went to Georgia one time. I don't remember all of them, but you know, I remember that I enjoyed the experience of all the different aspects of the business, whether it was a soap opera or a commercial or a print ad or a voiceover or modeling. I just didn't enjoyed the people. I enjoyed the excitement of it. I didn't look much further than that. I didn't have the mindset of, ooh, you know,
right.
I want to be somebody. It wasn't like that at all. I just was having a good time.
When you were on Dark Shadows, how was it like surrounded by a bunch of grown-ups all the time? And you were almost the only child there.
I did at times feel like I was surrounded by a bunch of adults. And I think that I became very comfortable with it. I became very accustomed to it. It just was that way. I think my vocabulary improved. I learned how to converse with adults. I was comfortable with that. So in that aspect, I think it was a good thing. But admittedly, there were times when I just wanted to hang out with my friends in Philly. And ultimately, that's what I wanted to do. And that's when my career stopped. I just wanted to be normal.
Now, was your mother there the whole time with you during the day? Or did you have a wrangler?
Oh, no, my mother was always with me. Always. The only time, you know, she would stay in the dressing room when I was working. But she always right there through every audition, through every shoot. Always my mom, never anyone else. We were attached at the hip.
So, because my next question was, did you sneak cigarettes with David Hennessy in Joan Bennett's dressing room?
Never. Never. I was a good girl. I did what I was told, and I had fun. I was so young. I was only 10 when I was on Dark Shadows, and I was admittedly rather naive, and I enjoyed being a kid. It wasn't until I started to get preteen, my attitude got corrupted, and I didn't want to do it.
Thank you.
Looking good.
Get some more coffee.
Yes, please. Get some water, please.
I think I'm gonna pass on the coffee. Oh, you never got your water.
So, when you were working a full day on the set, How did that work out with school? Did you skip school?
Yeah, that's why being in that kind of school was very important, because they worked with that. They made sure that I got what I needed done in whatever time was available. There were days when I definitely didn't make it to class, but I always got the work done. Even if I had to do it at home, that was never a problem. I didn't ever have a tutor on set or anything like that. I had work to do, and my mom made sure that it got done. My mom always tried to keep me as normal as possible. There was never events that I went to or any special thing that I went to. It was very normal. I went, I did my job, I came home. We went to the park, we went to the zoo, we went to FAO Schwartz. We didn't do things that were above my age grade.
Now, did you ever get recognized on the street, or did you ever get mobbed outside the stage door?
Never.
By fans?
In New York City, never. In Philadelphia, yes. Everywhere I went, someone said, "You're that girl." And I would always say, "No, I'm not." And they'd go, "Yes, you are." And I go, "No, I'm not."
You're that girl.
Obviously, the children in my neighborhood knew who I was and what I was doing. Even some that were, I would run into at the neighborhood pool or at the mall, that were a little bit out of my immediate neighborhood, they would recognize me. But I always tried to downplay it because I didn't want to be singled out. I just wanted to hang out with my friends. But in New York City, we would come out of the studio, get a cab, and go home. I never ever experienced that crowd outside of the studio. I actually think that may have happened after I was already off the show. You know, the popularity of it had increased to that point. I think. Either that or my mom just shielded me from it. I remember the studio. I remember coming into the studio. I remember the elevator. But I don't ever remember anyone but the security guard and maybe a few stray people hanging around.
Of the actors that you worked with, or anybody on the set, who was the funniest person?
Funniest? Actually, John Carlin cracked me up. And believe it or not, Thayer David cracked me up. David always cracked me up because he was a prankster. But yeah, the adults, I would have to say probably only those two I ever remember. I actually hung around more with the crew than I did the actors, because the crew would let me play behind the scenes. They would let me run up and down the stairs that went nowhere, you know, in the foyer. And they would let me play at the Blue Whale, you know, with the water pans that made the waves in the windows, and the sound guy and that kind of thing. They'd let me climb up on the boom and get behind the camera, like, what, obviously when they weren't in the throes of working. But so I remember hanging out with them more, very little. I mean, it's not all day, don't get me wrong.
But
I remember hanging out with them and having fun more than the actors, because the actors were busy. I mean, when they weren't on set, most of the time they were studying their lines or whatever, so they really weren't all that accessible.
Who was the grumpy cat on the show?
Oh, not that I can remember. I remember Dan Curtis being grumpy. I remember Leela being grumpy, but that was when things didn't go well, and, you know, there'd be some loud talking. I mostly stayed out of that.
Do you think they watch themselves around you, like watch their language? Or?
No, I don't. I think every actor that participated while I was on the show treated me as an equal, maybe not as an equal, but treated me as a fellow cast member. You're here, you're working, so are we. We do the job. There was no special treatment per se. When you're on set, you're doing the job. And I have to say, poor little Sarah has been criticized many, many times for being shifty-eyed, not knowing her lines, being less than a great actress. And I have to laugh because being a mom, being an older woman now, I think she was 10 years old. Give her a break. She was just a little girl. Most of the times that I'm accused of not knowing my lines and looking at the monitor and that kind of thing, I was no more looking at the monitor than go fly in the air. What I was distracted. I forgot about the fourth wall and started looking around what's going on behind the camera, you know, mm-hmm. or somebody dropped something, like I would look. It really had more to do with that. I was newsy more than, you know, granted, I flubbed lines and went up as much as anybody did. I'd first to admit that. But I laugh when people say, oh, were you reading the monitor? I'm like, I don't think I was capable of reading the monitor. No, I'm not that good. It had more to do with just being nosy and distracted.
Which children do?
Of course. Well, it's my nature. Even as an adult, I'm the same way. I mean, I can very much be in the conversation and very much be doing what I'm doing, but I'm also newsy enough that I'm looking over here at the same time. That's my nature. Good, bad, or indifferent, I'm newsy.
Kind of like, oh, shiny object.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, I'm going to throw some names out at you. If you have a thought or a memory or an opinion, if not, we'll just skip over them, okay?
Okay.
I'm just going to throw some names out at you. Jonathan Frere.
Jonathan was a true professional. He was a kind man. He had really big hands. He had a rather booming voice, and he was always very, very kind to me and helpful to me. I remember being at his apartment one time for one of his readings. I felt very special to have been invited. I was a little girl, and my mom and I went there, and there were all these adults. I felt like, my first thought was, why am I here? And, like, why would he invite me? And then my second thought was, I felt kind of special that I was invited. Because, I mean, who invites a 10-year-old to that kind of a soiree? But that's the kind of guy he was. He was very inclusive.
Catherine Lee Scott.
Catherine Lee Scott. Very, very pretty. Always smelled good. Even though I had scenes with Catherine, I don't remember having conversations with Catherine. She was just very pretty. I don't have a lot. Don't have a lot.
Okay.
Don't remember interacting with her a lot. On a personal, you know.
Right. Okay, that's fine. Joan Bennett.
Joan Bennett was the consummate professional. She was a star. She was elegant. She was petite. She was very petite in her size. Impeccable. Never a hair out of place, dressed, you know, I don't want to say to the nines, but always dressed very nicely. Not a jeans and t-shirt kind of person. Always showed up dressed. And I remember my mom, I didn't know who Joan Bennett was, but my mom made sure I did. My mom told me, you know, this, she's a real movie star, and my mom had the utmost of respect for her, therefore I did as well. Pleasant. She smoked. Remember, she smoked. Just elegant and pleasant. And when she came into a room, you knew it. Not because she was over the top, you know, diva material. Not at all. Just because the way she carried herself. You know, she was just that kind of person. I don't know any other way to explain it. She just commanded your attention when she walked into a room, even though she was slight in her size.
Lewis Edmonds.
Funny. he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Not that he was, you know, interacted with me necessarily, but he was, excuse me, he was a funny guy. Probably, if I could remember anything about him, it would be in the middle of a serious conversation or in a serious scene during rehearsal, he would do something to completely crack everybody up. Some outburst.
Dan Curtis.
Big, a little scary, but nice. I believe that the man knew what he wanted and wouldn't settle for anything less. I remember him being angry at me one time for sure. The scene where David and I are sitting astride a log, and one of us dropped a line and probably ended up dropping a page of dialogue, and we floundered for a minute before we got back on track again. And knowing that the show was live to tape, you don't stop. You don't go, okay, hold it, let's do that again. You keep moving. And I think both of us were having a conversation with our eyes, with each other, going, okay, who's going to save us? You know, somebody has to come up with one of the right lines to get us back on track again. And I remember when that was complete, you know, when we finished that scene, and whatever happened, and they cut to commercial, I could hear him in the distance freaking out, you know? But really, that was about the end. I think he was the kind of guy that would get really, like, hot-headed, but then it was over. You know? It was like, the frustration level would just blow, but then it was fine. No animosity, no, you know. You just moved on. But I do remember that because I felt bad.
Yeah.
I felt like, I never want to disappoint anybody. You know, it was like, I know I screwed up. I'm sorry. You know, but really wasn't a whole lot said about it. I just...
And you weren't the only one.
Oh, well, no, I know that now. But at the time, I was really...
Sure.
My whole world was just me. It's all I knew. You know, I wasn't as aware of everyone else at the time.
There, David.
Nice guy. Nice guy. A deep actor. I don't think that I fully appreciated it at the time, but he had a presence. He had an overwhelming, looming, darkish presence at all times. Really intelligent. So kind to me. We have a scene in the cemetery where he has to pick me up. And I knew that he had a bad back. I guess during rehearsals or whatever it came up that he had a bad back. And I felt so bad that he had to pick me up. Now, thinking back now, I was just a little bit of a thing. But still, I probably didn't weigh more than a bag of groceries, you know. But I remember feeling really bad that he had to pick me up. And I remember him saying to me, "Don't worry, I got this. You just relax. You know, just go limp, and I'll be fine." But I remember feeling really guilty about it. But he was kind to me to alleviate my anxiety and let me know that it's fine. Don't worry about it. And ultimately, it was fine. But I just remember being upset because I liked him, and I did. He had a bad back. I didn't want to hurt him. But
John Carlin.
Funny guy. Not afraid to talk to me. I remember being behind a set one time, waiting to go on. I don't remember the scene. I just remember being behind the set, and we're supposed to be quiet. And I remember him whispering to me in the darkness behind this fake wall. He was having a conversation with me, and he said to me, "Are you starstruck by all of this?" I had no idea what that meant. But being the, not cocky, what's the word? Can't think of the word that I want. But I said to him, "Oh, of course not." But I had no idea what he meant by starstruck. I don't think I ever heard that word before. But I could tell by the tone of his voice that my answer probably should be no. So I said, no, of course not. But he was a funny guy.
Grayson Hall.
Grayson Hall. I don't remember having a lot of personal contact with Grayson, but I do remember her being bigger than life in rehearsal. She smoked as well. I remember all the smokers. Smoking back then was totally accepted, done everywhere. You didn't go outside to smoke. So rehearsals there was always a lot of smoke. I remember her being bigger than life. I remember her hair and curlers. I remember her smoking. I remember her being bigger than life. That's about it.
Okay. Alexandra Moult?
I don't remember any interaction with Alexandra except on set. My memory of her is that she was also very pretty, but very restrained, kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was just around me or that was her demeanor. I don't know. But I remember her being rather reserved. Not in a bad way, just, you know. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, David Hennessy.
When I first came on set, David Hennessy had been there for a while already. So he knew the ropes. He knew everything about everything. All the hiding places, the schedules, everything.
What was your age difference?
I think he's only about a year or maybe two older than me. Maybe just a year. I'm not sure.
Okay, go ahead.
So when I got there, he was the go-to guy. He made me feel comfortable. You know, he told me where all the ins and outs were and what I was supposed to do and where I was supposed to be and that kind of thing. So he was very helpful to me. But he also was very funny, and he was a prankster, and he was always doing stuff that, like, I would be off to the side chuckling, going, oh my gosh, I can't believe he just did that. You know, he had no problem interacting with the adults. He had no problem trying to get away with murder. And everybody, I mean, he was good at what he did, so it wasn't an issue. He was like Peck's bad boy. My mother would use that terminology. There were a couple incidents where he tried to pull pranks on me, and, you know, we had a few laughs, but nothing ever serious, nothing ever bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wanted to have fun, that's all. And he knew his lines, he knew everybody else's lines. So it was easy for him. At least that was my perspective. It was easy for him. He knew what he was doing. He was helpful.
So after Dark Shadows ended, and after you did a few more things, you decided you wanted to go back to real life. How was that adjustment for you? Would people treat you differently?
For the most part, I was not treated differently at all. My friends in Philadelphia that had been my friends throughout knew me just as the girl who lived on Algard Street. I was a classmate. I was a friend. They didn't treat me any different. They knew who I was. There were times when people who didn't know me as personally would treat me as though I was stuck up. And that always upset me. Because I wasn't stuck up. What I was, if anything, was shy. And I didn't want to talk about it. And I didn't want the focus to be on what I had done. And I just wanted to be one of the group. I wanted to be like everybody else. That sometimes was uncomfortable for me. But for the most part, the transition back to real life was no big deal. It was no big deal. I was a teenager, and I just did what everybody else did.
Did you have a good time in high school?
I know. High school was horrible. It's not a memory that I choose to go back and think about. Yeah, high school wasn't a good time for me at all. I always felt like odd man out. That was me personally, I guess. I was not involved in anything. Thought I was cool.
Typical teenager?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I had a lousy attitude, and...
Did you do any drama productions?
I did nothing.
Wow.
No, nothing. Wanted to stay as far away from that as possible. Now I regret it. Now I wish I had been more involved in high school. But at the time, I had the brain of a teenager, and unfortunately... definitely not a good time.
All right, so after that, then you became a pole dancer in a Jersey strip club, right? Oh, I'm sorry, that was another interview.
Who told?
Sometimes my sources are not reliable. Okay.
That's good. Hey, it's acting, right? Oh, my goodness.
What happened after that? Did you get married, or?
Mm-hmm. I graduated high school at 17 years old, and 30 days later, I got married.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. It was not a good time. I thought that I was grown, and I thought that I knew what love was, and I did not. And I was married, well, I got married at 17, and I was divorced before I was 21. And that was not a good time in my life. But the upside of that is I did not have any children, so the only damage that was done to me. That's a good thing. I was on my own until I was 25 years old, 24 years old. And I met my now husband, Ed. And we've been married, we're about to be married 28 years. Now, we've been together 33 years, but we're about to be married 28 years. So I got it right the second time. That's a good thing. The first one was practice.
That was a rehearsal.
I failed miserably.
And unlike Dark Shadows, you got to do a second take.
Really?
I hear you've done some community theater in the area.
I did. When I was 25 years old, I had the itch to get back in the business. And I went on a few auditions up in New York. And the auditions that I went on were toothpaste, feminine products, Pampers. I did not like any of it. I didn't like the feeling that I got when I was up there. It didn't feel good. As much as I wanted to be a part of, it didn't feel right to me. I didn't like it. So I stopped that real quick. But I still had this itch that I wanted to do something that had to do with acting. And I had the opportunity, to join a group doing community theater. I did approximately 12 productions over the next couple of years with that group.
What theater?
Actually, several groups. Playmasters down on State Road.
I know that.
One group was affiliated with the church that I got married, and it doesn't even exist anymore. It got burnt down. St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Kensington.
Okay.
It's right below Tarsdale and Erie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there anymore, but they had a community group, a dinner theater, that I was involved with for years. Did everything from 10 Little Indians, Man of La Mancha, Odd Couple.
Who did you play in Man of La Mancha? I'm sorry, I just closed that show.
I was one of the many on stage, and I was the donkey. And I had a blast doing it. I had this great costume. I love that costume.
I love that show.
In Odd Couple, I was one of the Pigeon Sisters. And don't ask me which one, I don't remember.
Was it Gwendolyn or Cecily?
I can't remember which one.
I think they're interchangeable, aren't they?
Almost. Almost. But that, I had fun doing that. I was in Guys and Dolls. I was one of the Hot Box Girls. And back then, I was about 100 pounds. So I got these great costumes. 10 Little Indians. What was I in 10 Little Indians? I was the woman that died in the chair with the hypodemic nurdle. You can't take it with you? Oh my goodness. I have a whole list of them. I believe there's like a dozen of them. But I loved the atmosphere. I loved all the people, the cast members, the crew, the rehearsals. I needed that at that time in my life.
Why don't you keep doing it? Why don't you do more?
Well, I am.
I haven't seen you in any shows lately.
I have not pursued stage at this point, but I am in negotiations with several production companies that are doing web series, independent films. I've been on a few auditions for industrial commercials and print ads. So I'm just now scratching the surface to see where it leads me. I'm open to just about anything right now. Because again, I love all aspects of the acting community. Even behind the scenes, I'm working with two production companies where I'm doing work behind the scenes as well. Assistant production crew, whatever. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that. I love the process of it. I love seeing the magic of film happen. You know, from screenwriters, playwrights, scripts being written to ideas being vetted. I love that whole process to see it come to life. It's so exciting to me. I'm in awe by it, and I want to be a part of it. So we'll see where that takes me. You know, I've been Uber mom for many, many years, and I don't regret that a little bit. That was always my focus. My family came first. My children came first. And anyone who's in the business in any aspect knows there's a lot of time and effort involved. When people see the end product, I think a lot of times they don't realize how much went into that to come up with, you know, a 3-minute commercial, a 20-minute film, a full feature of an hour and a half or 2 hours. So much time and effort and creativity goes into that. And I don't think most people recognize that or appreciate that. And that's the part that I love the most. Watching that evolve, watching that happen, it's so exciting to me.
Now, do you prefer film to stage work?
I don't have a preference at this point. I must admit, because stage work can be grueling. Stage work, you have a commitment to, you get up on stage, you're in front of a lot of people, other actors are dependent on you. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. Film, you do it in shots. You do it in small bites. So, and there's plenty of do-overs. So in that aspect, yeah, I'm lazy. It's kind of easier, you know? Not to say I enjoy one over the other, but I give a lot of kudos to people who are in the theater and do stage work. It's grueling. It can be grueling. It's also fun, but it can be grueling.
Do you have cats?
I do have cats. I have two outside cats and one inside cat currently. I love them equally. Someone said to me, why do you have outside cats and inside cats? The outside cats happened quite by accident. I've been taking care of them for 7 years, and they depend on me, but they don't want to be inside cats. Mm. They are semi-feral. They don't like being inside. They want to be outside.
Okay.
My inside cat is much like her mommy, me, and she's spoiled, and she's lazy, and she's a fat cat, and she doesn't want to go outside. You know? To each their own. Mm-hmm. I love them all. I take care of them all. I feed them all. And it was recently, the question recently was posed to me, knowing that I'm getting ready to move, what's going to happen to my outside cats? My outside cats are coming with me. Some people think that's a little crazy, and other people completely understand. Anything less to me would be abandonment. They're too dependent on me, feeding them twice a day, to be left on their own. It wouldn't be fair. So they're coming with me.
This is a very general question, but what are your priorities now? What's important to you?
That's easy. My priorities now are the same as they've been for many, many years. Family is first. Everything else that I do in my life for work or pleasure comes second to my family. Because in the end, the jobs will come and go, the career will come and go, you know, whether it's acting or otherwise. Family is always my family. And I've had great loss in my life that's reminded me of why family is number one. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
After not being in it for a while, you started to go back, you started to attend the Dark Shadows festivals. I know that was because your son's birthday used to fall. But eventually you did get back to it, and now you're a regular presence there. What do you like about them?
Dark Shadows festivals give me the opportunity to be face-to-face with the fans, to communicate with the fans, to enjoy the excitement of the fans. I don't go to the festivals so much for myself as I do for the fans. And I appreciate their excitement. I think it's just awesome. I could sit home and be, Dark Shadows is something that I did a long time ago, and it's over, move on. But I keep going back to the festivals because other people don't feel that way. Other people are still very much actively watching Dark Shadows and writing about Dark Shadows and enjoying Dark Shadows. So that's why I go. I go because they enjoy it so much. And I've had people come up to me and they're shaking. And they have smiles on their face that are priceless because seeing the cast members and the crew reminds them most of them, not all of them, but reminds them of when they were younger. And it brings all that enthusiasm and that whole time in their life back to them. And they just can't believe that they're actually meeting in person these people that they watched when they were in their teens, you know. So I think that's very cool. I get excited for their excitement. It's like, wow.
This is a part of the interview where you get to plug all your stuff.
Uh-oh. Okay.
So let's start with your website.
Okay.
Which is called?
First of all, my website, Sharon Smith Lentz. It is www.sharonsmith.net. And right now, I must admit, my website is a little stagnant because I haven't had the time to really work on it. However, right now, there is someone who is setting up a new website for me. It's going to be more professional. It's going to be more inclusive. It's going to be more interactive. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to take a little bit. It's just in mm-hmm. the works right now, but I'm very much looking forward to that. I want my website to be somewhere where you can go and see where I've been, what I've done, but what I'm doing and what I'm going to be doing. I also like to promote other people. So there are links on there for people I've worked with, whether it was radio interviews or things I've done with other organizations, other production companies, whatever. I want to put their names up on there too. So there'll be links for that. My Facebook page is the same thing. I have my personal Facebook page, which is Sharon Lentz, which you'll find just about anything on there. And then I have my pro page, Sharon Smith, that I try to keep current with what I'm doing and promote other people on there as well. Say I go to an event and I meet a vendor or a production team or a band that I want to help, I will put their information on my pro page as well. You like me? Please like what I like. So I want to help and encourage other people that are struggling out there that maybe don't have the attention on them that I have been blessed with.
The Little Sarah merchandise. T-shirts
and tote bags.
I've seen them. They're adorable. Where can you get them?
Through me.
Okay.
You can either order them through my website. You can send me a message. You can Facebook message me, or you can email me. Again, my email is sharonsmith@comcast.net. You certainly can email me. I have a PayPal account. Take credit cards. There's 8x10s that are available. I believe there are 6 of them up now. I will be changing them soon or adding to them soon. Some are screenshots. I have a new headshot being made right now. Or, you know, conventions or anywhere else that I'm at.
Right.
I usually have them with me, so if anybody's interested.
Right. No, I have a suggestion.
Yes.
I think you should have a new t-shirt made.
Okay.
With the same picture.
Okay.
But it should say on it, if you walk up to me one more time and sing London Bridge is Falling Down, I will shoot you.
Never going to happen. I get your point, but no.
Other thing I think you should have is a coffee mug with your picture on it. And when you fill it with hot liquid, it disappears.
Ooh, I like that.
I know that there's a Phantom of the Opera mug that does that.
That's fun. I like that.
So I think that would be a cool
one. I'm going to have to think about that. Someone else suggested a doll based off of Sarah's doll that you pull the string or you flick a button or whatever, and it has maybe a half a dozen of phrases that are associated with Little Sarah, which I think is
like
funny.
Like a chatty Sarah.
Yeah, there you go. Silly Sarah.
What are some of your...
Eat.
Oh, you know, I just had breakfast before I left.
Okay.
Tell me, what are your upcoming appearances? Where will we see you next?
Okay, I am going to be speaking at Mechanicsburg Bookstore on the 31st of May. Check me on these. I'm going to be at Lyndhurst in June. I am going to be at MonsterCon in South Carolina in July. Basically like one thing a month at this point. I'm going to be in Ohio following month, but check the dates on that.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I fly by the seat of my pants, so I don't know. And as I said, I'm in negotiations for some other things that I almost really can't talk about right now. I'm working on it.
Your new movie.
And if you want me to show up at your event, If you want to hire me for anything, let me know.
Tell me about the film that you just finished. Stay Hidden?
Stay Hidden is an independent film. It's a short film. The filming was done in Massachusetts. It was written and produced by Allison. I believe her last name is pronounced Laheineken, but you'll have to check me on that as well. I don't want to get it too wrong. It will probably be initially shown at short film festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, depending on the feedback, however that works, where it'll go after that, I'm not really sure. I know some short films end up being available online or Netflix or whatever. I don't know, obviously, where this one's going to go yet. It's going to start out at short film festivals.
Okay. When does it come out?
I don't know.
Okay.
They're filming it right now.
They're still filming?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that could be in production for...
Absolutely.
Post-production for a while.
My part of it, we filmed over this last weekend. It was so much fun. It was crazy. It was great. I'm going to give you a little tiny spoiler. I have a scream that's going to put Angelique and I in competition. So she may not be the only one being asked to scream at conventions.
The only screamer, huh? Okay.
That was a lot of fun.
Tell me something that we don't know about you.
Oh, there's a lot. There's
well,
a lot.
something that you don't mind saying into the tape recorder.
Yeah, right. You know, it's funny. People ask me a lot of things and have asked me a lot of things over the years. And mostly, with the exception of you today, mostly between the ages of when I stuffed Dark Shadows and when I came back, most people haven't asked me anything about those years. You're the first person that's actually asked me about being married at 17 and being in theater, community theater, when I was 25. So thank you. I admittedly would love to write a book and include that portion of my life. So I guess I'm holding back on some of it, but how much does one want to divulge?
I won't tell anyone.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. I'm very sensitive. I'm very insecure at times. You know, one of the things I want to say, a lot of people give me the impression that they think that Sharon, the adult Sharon, is very naive. Some of the way some people talk to me, some people respond to me, I feel like they think that I'm a little clueless. That is very far from the truth. I like to keep my Facebook page very G-rated and very upbeat. And it's very specific why I do that. I've been accused of being too Pollyanna. I've been accused of my Facebook page is nothing but cats and kids and cuteness. And that might be true. Again, I do that very specifically because there are so many people that are in so much personal pain. So many people that have very hard stories and very hard lives for whatever reason, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. There's a lot of negativity out there. I don't want to promote that. I want to promote the opposite. I want to give people hope. I want to let people know that you can go through really, really hard struggles because I have. Sorry. And if you keep a positive attitude, and if you replace negative thoughts with positive thoughts, and you keep putting one foot in front of the other and doing the next best thing, it will be okay. You can get through it. I've been through a lot of stuff. Thanks. I just think that it's important to be encouraging. I think that it's important to be hopeful. And in that sense, that's why I want to say, I'm not naive. I'm not clueless.
Do you need a box, honey?
Yes, please.
it's not that I have my head in the sand about the horrible things that are happening in the world and in people's personal lives. I'm very much aware. All the more reason why I want to put a positive message out mm-hmm. there. So.
So it's a specific choice.
It's very much so. Very much so. And people who know me up close and personal mm-hmm. know how real I am and know who I am and, you know, that there's a lot more to me than my Facebook.
Well, there.
Facebook can be very one-dimensional.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook is a place where people, I believe, only give so much of themselves. You know, and
some people give more than they should. That's the end of our questions. Now, to the fan mail.
Fan mail?
Fan mail. Late last night, I went on Facebook and I said, oh, by the way, I'm just happy to be having lunch with Sharon Lentz tomorrow. What would you like me
La-di-da.
To say to her?
La-di-da.
Anything you'd like to say?
Okay.
So these were my responses. I'll give you these to
wow.
take home. And we're
cool.
going to read all of them. But some of them are questions, so that they wanted me to pass on to you.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not that many of them. What the heck?
I am very accessible, and I'm not afraid to be honest.
Okay. Well, Brennan says, I don't know, just tell her that she's awesome.
Aww.
Alondra says, she was a great little actress on the show, and we adore her.
Aww.
Gail says, thank her for stopping and taking the time to set up my Facebook.
Oh, I remember that we met in the parking lot. That was so funny.
Oh.
She didn't know who I was, and I started to talk to her,
yeah.
and she had no clue who I was, and we were in a hurry. Cheryl was driving in. We were in a hurry, and I said, Facebook me, and she's like, I don't have a Facebook, and then when she realized who I was, she was like, she was adorable.
Well, Gail said, she changed my whole life. She is a wonderful lady.
Oh, that's because of Facebook.
Jean Caruso says, you will enjoy your dinner. She's a great friend of mine and a lovely person.
He's a crazy person.
He is. I know. Mike said, did you ask if you saved your scripts?
I have all of my scripts with the exception of a few that I gave as gifts. And so, some of the scripts are available. I actually copied my first script and my last script.
Oh.
And when I go to conventions, I make them available. And at the Dark Shadows convention, I also made them available for sale. And it's funny because some people who are in the business or just starting out,
mm-hmm.
they're so overwhelmed and interested by them because, you know,
you've never seen a shooting script?
And everything, that all the direction that's there and some of the scribbled notes that are on there, and they just really get excited. One of the last conventions I went to when I was in Jersey, guy bought one. He came back to the convention the next day to buy the other one because he said he couldn't, when he got home and he read it, he was so excited. He said, I had to have the other one. I couldn't just not, you know?
Eric said, just give her my love and tell her I will see her soon.
That's a convention.
Yes. Terry says, what's up, Sarah? Ask how she's doing for me. Loved her back then. Tell her that I still watch her as she tries to save Maggie all the time and then singing London Bridge is Falling Down.
Cute.
Daryl said, just thank her for me. She really gave me a big energy boost with so little. Angela, I agree with others. I would just thank her. Her performances continue to bring joy and entertainment to so many people.
Nice.
Cynthia said, she is really cool. That's what you remember about her character, the London Bridge and playing ball with David.
Yep.
Lillian, ditto, Cynthia. Saw some of those episodes. You know, Lillian.
You're going to get thrown out.
But didn't get to watch the show, hoping to have the DVD soon. Followed by
a million exclamation
marks.
I do that too, though. We get so excited.
Katie Lynn says, just thanks for sharing her talent. Crystal said, the above thanks, and if she has any special memories that stand out to her while working on the set.
I loved playing with the cobwebs that were made out of rubber. I loved those. They sprayed them. It was a machine that had this latexy type liquid in it, and when they sprayed it, that's how they made the cobwebs. But if you grabbed at it and twirled it up in your hand, you could make like little super balls out of it. It was fun. I enjoyed that. And I always got in trouble for picking off the melted wax from the candles, because obviously they wanted that effect
trippy
on
candles.
There. Yeah. But I just thought it was cool. I would pick them off and I could yell that. The memories of a 10-year-old.
Victoria, how wonderful. Yes, do thank her for sharing her childhood with us. I met her at the 2012 DS Festival. She was so very kind. Looking forward to seeing her again this summer.
Cool.
Gary Ward said, ask her if she's free for lunch with me and Gregory Drew in July in Greenville, South Carolina, MonsterCon.
Absolutely.
Okay, did you hear that, Gary?
Ellen, I love you, Drew.
Ellen said, which one does she keep in touch with the most? Does she still see and is she still friends with David? She's one of my favorites, and she is still a beautiful-looking person.
Aw, thank you. I have not spoken to David Hennessy in forever. Through Facebook, we exchanged maybe one sentence a few years ago, and that...
Do you keep in touch with any of the cast members?
The only time I see them is at events. Actually, that's a lie. Actually, Marie Wallace and I have spoke several times through private messages on Facebook.
Right. Paul asked, what were your memories of Grayson Hall on the show?
Over the top. But in a good way.
Emily asked, were you a friend of Jonathan Frid at your young age that you knew him?
We obviously didn't socialize, but yeah. Yeah, he was very accepting and including of me. So, yes.
Do you see him at festivals after you were an adult?
Yes.
How was that?
Great. With cast members you don't see or speak with for long periods of time, when you come together at an event, it's like no time has passed at all. It's like if you haven't seen a cousin for a long time, they're still your family.
Right.
They're always going to be your family. So no matter how much time elapses in between, you may catch up, whatever, there's still a certain familiarity and comfortableness that's just there. It just is. So when you see somebody like that, you know, Jonathan or Catherine or Laura.
Just pick up where you left off?
Exactly. You know, it's like all home week.
Raymond. She is incredible, isn't she? At the Lyndhurst Festival last year, she came up to me, yes, even though we had only ever met before here on Facebook. She recognized me from my pic and came over to say hi to me, which I must say put me on cloud nine.
Aw, hugs to Raymond. He's a sweetheart. Very cool. And so, I get to keep it.
Thank you so much.
I haven't gotten fan mail in a long time. People don't write letters anymore. That's cool. Thank you for that.
So that was the end of my questions. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that I didn't ask?
I think I would like the opportunity to thank the fans, to thank both the original fans, the new fans, all those supporters of Dark Shadows and of me personally. It's incredible. It's incredible. And it's just so nice. It's nice to know that I was a part of something so iconic. You know, if it wasn't for Dark Shadows, you and I wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation right now. If it wasn't for Dark Shadows, my best friend in the world wouldn't be my best friend in the world, because she lives in Long Island, and that's Cheryl Donato. Among other friends that I've, close friend that I've achieved because of Dark Shadows. So, I'm grateful for that. I really am truly grateful for that. That I was lucky then, and I'm very lucky now. People remember, people care. And I would ask that going forward in my endeavors, that people would be equally as supportive and encouraging to me for whatever's coming up. I appreciate people caring about what I'm doing and being interested and following, and I appreciate that.
And they all seem to love you.
Aww.
And everyone, without exception, all said what a friendly, accessible, and nice person you are.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me.
I'm pretentious.
That means a lot to me. I'm me. Like Popeye, I am what I am. And take it or leave it, I just believe in paying it forward, being kind, treating other people the way I want to be treated. It's nothing new under the sun. Yeah. I didn't make that up. It's what worked. I find it very upsetting when people are so quick to criticize, so quick to put other people down, so quick to judge. I don't like being the recipient of it, and I certainly don't want to be that way to anybody else. You know, everybody has their story.
Yeah, and I find that's more common on the internet.
More coffee, honey? Are you good?
No,
no more coffee. Thank you.
Because of the anonymity, people feel free to, you know, hiding behind a screen too.
Right.
Without thinking of the repercussions.
And it's bullying. It's bullying at its worst. The judgment, the criticism, the antagonistic attitudes, and I find it very upsetting.
Thanks, honey. Nice seeing you.
Thanks, honey. That's an aspect of Facebook that I don't like, but I find that the best way to combat that is not to be involved in it. Doesn't mean I'm going to leave Facebook. It means that I won't have online argument. I won't be antagonistic, or I'll try, you know, not to be antagonistic. There have been times when people have put things on my Facebook page that I find distasteful. I remove them. I don't need to argue about it. I don't need to say anything. I just remove it. I find it's best not to engage people that just want to stir the pot.
Or they say, don't feed the troll.
There you go. You know, so...
Because when you respond, that just encourages them to come back.
Absolutely.
With more.
Absolutely. And I've been blessed. I know a lot of people that say to me, oh, you know, this happened to me on Facebook, and this happened to me on Facebook, and I've been blessed that those things haven't happened to me, and I believe that it's because if you put good out there, good comes back. It just, like attracts like, I believe. What kind of phone do you have? Yours is a much bigger screen.
I have a Nokia. It's a Windows phone. I only got my phone out because I'm going to ask the next waiter to come by to take our picture together.
Oh, yes, definitely. Oh, excuse me. Can you take our picture? Can you take our picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
Make us look good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cheese.